We surely are leaning on the Lord this morning and desire the Lord's Spirit to grant His anointing.
Yes, amen.
We want to begin with some scripture and comments concerning honor and praise. The scripture I want to refer to is 1 Chronicles 29. I'm going to be looking at verses 11 and 12, and then I'm going to be referring to other verses in that particular chapter. But it starts out and it says, and by the way, this is David is writing these words, and he says, "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power, the glory, the victory, the majesty. And thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. In thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." That's a powerful passage.
Yes.
I think many times we get so caught up in the life and the cares of life, and even though we're saved and we're sanctified, and but the busyness of life can sometimes affect our vision of the one true God and what He is and who He is and what He wants to do. When we read these words of greatness and power and glory and victory and majesty and riches and honor and strength, and are those just empty words? They tell us what He wants to do for us and with us. And He wants us to have that kind of confidence that He is an all-powerful and the mighty God. So in a way, we could say that this passage shows honor to God, and it also is praising Him for His greatness. Thank the Lord. So I'm thinking that we sometimes need to be reminded.
Yes.
In the midst of those words, we need to be reminded of His goodness. And I think we are. I think that when we come to prayer meeting, and it seems as though more so in this stage of my life than in a younger stage, we are reminded to come with thanksgiving. And to think about it and to recall and remember what God does for us every day.
That's right.
And not just allow the routine of life to overlook the goodness and the graciousness of God to not just His people. God is good to all.
Yes. That's right.
We think of the scripture that it says that He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. And He's good to those that are even unthankful.
Yes, that's right.
And so, let us not go a day without thanking God for His goodness to all of mankind. Let us not go without thanking Him for His goodness to our loved ones. Because you and I are carrying a burden for those that are lost, not just out there. We must carry a burden for our loved ones, for our relatives. And I see us doing that. I hear it in the prayer requests sometimes on prayer meeting night. Cousins, relatives, those that haven't had the privilege of being taught and raised this way. We have had the privilege.
True, that's right.
And we should be more conscious of it than the average person. And I think that it just simply, well, there's a scripture over in 1 Peter, I believe, the 3rd chapter, which is speaking of the coming of the Lord. But it says that he wants to stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. So let's remember and let's give honor to God and praise. Oh, you know, some people have this idea, and I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just that I think there's different personalities and different characteristics in each one of us that, you know, you're supposed to, anything with breath, Glenn, it praise the Lord. We may not speak the words praise publicly or openly, but we can do it from the heart. And I don't know about you, but I have a number of situations in my life and for some time that throughout the day and at certain times when it's brought to my mind what he has done for me in the last year and a half, that I cannot help but say, praise God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Oh, where would I be if he had not brought me to this place? You know, the scripture speaks about us remembering the pit from which we have been dug or digged or however it says in that. You know, do you look back and remember what God's done for you? Where he brought you out of?
Yes.
You know, most of us will not know what each other was saved from.
That's true.
But I know. I know what God saved me from. And I believe each one of you know. We have a song that says, if it wasn't for the Lord, tell me what would I do? Isn't that your song today? In your heart? Aren't you looking back, just being reminded of the greatness of God and saying, oh Lord, where would I be? I was talking with Paul, he was telling me of where his father lived, and he worked for the government in Washington, D.C., but he chose to move back to Oklahoma because of his children. He didn't want his children raised in that atmosphere, I guess. And I had to think about Lorne. And Lorne passed the test for an air traffic controller. It was his last year that he could pass the test and be hired, and he wasn't saved, but he was supposed to have been hired except for one little, and I would call it a glitch. He could have contested it and it would have been passed. He had a question on his application. Have you ever taken an antihistamine for your hay fever? He never had but one time, and it was Alarest, over the counter, one time. And he said yes, and that knocked him out of a job, out of that job. He wasn't saved, but he counted that as from God. Me? Not me. I was wanting to leave Oklahoma. I wanted adventure. I was tired of Oklahoma. And I wanted to live somewhere else. And I grieved over that for about 3 months. Not him. You know, God is great. And we have to say, where would our children have been? If we'd have been out there. Even though he said, no, we're not going to work anywhere except where there's a church. That's what Lorne said. But you get into that field and they're going to send you where they want you. And we would have eventually been in a place where there was no church of God. I want to tell you something else about Lorne. even though he wasn't saved. And I wasn't saved a big part of the time, too. But I would bring the girls to church on Sunday. And one time I got tired of it. And I said, well, I'm just going to find me a little church here in Edmond and start going there. I'm tired of driving clear. And you all drive a lot farther. Lauren got a little animated, maybe I could say. And he said, you're not taking those girls anywhere else but the Church of God. And I never suggested it again. I want to tell you, God knows about our lives. And he knows the future. And he knew that we would lose a child. And he knew what he wanted to do. He's great. God is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. And he's exalted above all. And he has riches and honor. And he reigns over all. And he has power and might and strength. And let us not forget it. So we go on down now, and we're going to sort of skip up to verse 10. We're going to skip around to some of these. David, verse 10, just parts of these verses. David blessed the Lord before all of the congregation, and he said, blessed be thou, Lord God, our Father, forever and ever. Very short little phrase of a verse. Did you know, do you realize, do you think of how you can bless God? It seems as though it's impossible for little humanity to bless the Father, God the Father, the Creator, the one that is all of these other words. How can I bless him? And yet David blessed God in front of the congregation. May I say this morning, that I want to bless God in front of you. Amen. And I want to be an inspiration to you. Right. That you will in turn bless God. Right. Praise him. Honor him. So then I go to now verse 13. And it just a little portion. I'm just giving you portions. Praise thy glorious name. You know, we can almost forget some of the word of God that says there is no other name under heaven whereby men shall be saved. Let us not forget that. And let us praise his holy name. I added the word holy, and it adds honor to it. Holy name. And then verse 14. For all things come of thee. Do all things come to you from above? The scripture says all good things come from above. Well, what about the things that are hard? We have to step aside and say, God, my Father, has allowed this. I want to tell you something. If you have any other mindset, the enemy will take advantage.
Yes, he will.
If you begin to blame God, if you begin to question God, it will work against you spiritually. It will weaken you spiritually. We must not question God. We must not blame God. Well, why did God let that happen to me? Well, many times there's not an answer right away. It takes time sometimes, that God reveals why he allows something to happen, but he has a purpose. And we know the purpose because he says, I want this hard thing to work for your good. I want this to develop you. Are you developing? Are we developing? I want to tell you, we've had to be developing. Look back. Have you come a ways? Have you grown some? Can you say, I'm further down the road than I was? That was one thing that Brother Wise, you all don't know Brother Wise, but he was a very precious brother in this congregation. And we had much confidence in Brother Wise. And it was after Lauren got saved, and so he and Brother Wise was taking a trip up to Enid together to get some school supplies. We were having school in the congregation in the chapel here. He was a very soft-spoken man. And he just made a little casual comment that Lauren never forgot. And he said, well, I feel like I'm a little farther down the road than I was. And here we thought of Brother Wise as being way down the road. Oh, let us be a little farther down the road than we were a year ago. Let's be farther down the road than we were when we started out. Oh, he's wanting us. He wants to give. All things come from him. But here's the next part of that phrase. And of thine own have we given thee. Now, what does that say? Is there anything that you can really do to bless God that he hasn't already given to you and you're just giving it back to him? Yes. You know, I don't have anything in me that's greater than what he is. And what he has done for me is all that I can give back to him. Verse 17, thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. I want to tell you, we may not think about this all the time, but God is a discerner. And we say this a lot here in the congregation. He's a discerner of our thoughts and our intentions. And he divides the bone and the marrow and the soul and the spirit. And he knows me inside and out. He knows everything about you. And he tries our heart. And he doesn't do it to break us or crush us. He has the attitude. He has the goodness and the kindness to not quench the smoking flax or the bruised reed. That's how much he cares. Does Jesus care? He cares. And he wants your success, I would say, more than you do.
Yes, he does, right.
He desires it more than, and we should be desiring it above all things. I believe that. But he desires your success and my success far above what I desire because he cares. So he tries my heart. And do you ever use the scripture when you're praying? And I believe you do. It's so important that we use the word of God when we're seeking the Lord and praying, Lord, try me. And see if there is a wicked way in me. Why do you pray that way? Because the scripture says the heart, and I don't really care for this scripture because of how it sounds. And it says, the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, I don't really know me. I can sometimes have attitudes, and you may even wonder, well, where did that come from? But I want to tell you something. God knows our heart.
That's right.
And he knows how to reveal to us what is in our hearts.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So the Lord has pleasure in uprightness. So those are the passages from the 1 Chronicles 29. And I want to just read a few verses concerning honor. Psalms 145 and 5. I will speak of the honor of thy majesty. Oh, do you see God as majestic? I don't even know a term, a definition to give other than, you know, you think of kings and royalty and queens and they appear majestic because they're probably in appearance over and above the average person and how they look and how they act and all of that. Well, God is majestic.
Yes.
And we need to honor the fact that he is a majestic God. He has the power. Psalms 71 and 8, let thy mouth be filled with the honor all day. That's speaking to you and me. So as your day begins, are your first thoughts about God? That's not an accusation. That's a suggestion. And I know that my brother-in-law, Leslie Busby, that was one of the things that he said, that he always wanted his very first thoughts on waking to be on the things of God, of thanking God. What do you thank God for? You're just waking up. Thank him that you're waking up.
Yes, that's right.
Thank him for bringing you through the night. Just train your mind to turn towards godly things as soon as you become conscious. And it's a good training. It's a good habit. And I believe God is pleased, and I believe it honors God when our mouth expresses our gratitude,
yes,
for his goodness, bringing us through another night.
That's right.
Allowing us to see the light of a new day. Those kind of things we need to be grateful for and thankful for. And you can go beyond that too. You know, you don't just have to lay there and say two or three sentences. And as your habit becomes formed, it will be a greater benefit to your life to begin to expand those thoughts. Oh God, I need you today. I need you every hour. I need thee. You ever feel that great need that you need God every hour? You know, the night Lorne passed, during that night, that's the song that the Lord gave him. I need thee every hour.
Yes.
It was the song we were singing to him when he passed. And it has become my song. I need thee every hour. John 12 and 26. If any man serve me, this is Jesus speaking, him will my Father honor. You know, we're speaking of honoring God, but don't you know it's a two-way street? Don't you know that God wants to honor us? So if I'm serving him, Jesus said, my Father will honor you. And then 1 Samuel 2 and 30, which is really the one scripture that seemed to stand out in my mind as these thoughts began to be developed. Them that honor me, I will honor. So, you know, you want to be honored by the Lord. You want to be respected. You want to be blessed. You want, what do you want from God? What do you need? We need a lot, don't we? We're helpless creatures without his help. I was praying with someone on the phone this week, a couple. And the brother led out in prayer. And of course I was agreeing in prayer. But the one word that I heard the most throughout that prayer, you know what it was? Help. Take note of your own prayers. Do you use the word help a lot? I do. Lord, help. And then you've got to fill in the blank. So we need the Lord's help. And I cannot, and you know, you can't save yourself. But God can save you. Thank the Lord. So God, I believe that it blesses him when we praise him and give him honor.
Amen.
And I believe that God receives our words of gratitude. I believe God is blessed when we bless him. And in all that we give to him, he's already given it to us. It's not like we're making any great sacrifice. We're giving it back to him. So he's worthy. Oh my, the time. This is really...
Keep going.
I can do it this afternoon. I would like for us to sing a song that he's worthy. We should know that song, shouldn't we? Lord, you're worthy to be praised, and I praise you. Can you lead it? Can anybody lead it? Lord, you're worthy to be praised, and I praise you. Lord, you're worthy to bow down to, and I bow down to you. Lord, you're worthy to be worshipped, and I worship you. I praise you, I bow down to you, I worship you. Lord, you're worthy to be honored, and I honor you. Lord, you're worthy to believed in, and I believe in you. Lord, you're worthy to be trusted, I put my trust in you. I honor you, and I worship you. I put my trust in you. Lord, you're worthy to be loved, and I love you. Lord, you're worthy of my life. I give my life to you. Lord, you're worthy, oh so worthy, I give my all to you. I love you, I give my life to you, I give.